Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
See myself as a special investigator, as I suspect Cottrell and Sister Hootie, some of the lead investigators on this team. And so because We're some of the lead investigators. We accord you investigative roles also. So when we open these files, as in these books, and we turn over every leaf and dot every I, and we look at the crime or the occurrence, it's not incumbent upon Cartier and Sociahuti and I to do all the work for you. It is incumbent upon yourself to take some initiative in your own work and present that work to yourself before, during, and after. As a matter of fact, it's imperative that you do so. Don't trust our word. Don't trust our investigation. Trust your own investigation. Trust the wisdom and understanding that you ask the Most High for so you can do these things. And so what do we study in our investigative team? We study the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. We study crimes that have occurred, alleged crimes that have occurred, allegations of crimes that occur, and sometimes crimes, depending upon the circumstances. All praises to him, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You see, it is our intent to give you a colorful, descriptive bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, not some old fuddy-duddy, just read monotone and so on and so forth. To shake it up for you, to give it to you raw and uncut, so you can put your own initiatives to work to lead you in the right direction, so you can understand the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And once understood, you can make the right applications in your lives. Because certainly, by all indication, we're moving in the wrong direction. Let's move together, unified in the right direction. Let's study. Let's investigate. Let's do redundancy in our studies. That's why we ask you to study with us, before us, during, and after. Because we need everybody at the table during these study sessions. Yes, we are your lead special investigators. But you are an investigator also. So don't take your role for granted just because you're listening to the subject matter at hand. It's incumbent upon you to do something yourself, for yourself. Because all this work we're putting in is simply not for a feel-good moment. It's to get right, good, together moment. And that's why we do what we do on the Real Talk for Real People Investigative Study Show. And we're happy that you have attended. If you're a new student, get prepared for something serious. Get prepared for a study session that you never had the opportunity before to be present and to make you think, to make you ask questions. Not some old monotone, no, not none of that. But you know what? No, Cartier from New York City, he's a good lead investigator. One of the best we have. So Shahudi from Detroit, Michigan, she's a good lead investigator. Sister Ima Hadora, when she attends, she's a good lead investigator. I suspect I'm somewhere in there. But won't you try to be a good lead investigator too? Won't you try to put it into work? It's not incumbent upon us to do your work for you. It's incumbent upon you to learn how to do these studies. And once learned, you can apply them. And also, you can share into studies so others can be lead investigators too. Bless y'all. All our hearts and all that is within us. But before we get into these studies, I know a lot of you are probably thinking Yom Suf is going to talk about some contemporary subject matter. Not today. I think the Most High got everything in hand. But always be cognizant of what is going on. And sometimes you can take your file, your book, chapter, and a verse, and sometimes apply them to what's going on. Put it next to your file and juxtaposition it. That's the only thing I'm going to say about today, okay? So let's get started. Let me bring on Sister Hootie from Detroit, Michigan, one of our lead investigators. Sister Hootie, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. And the listeners out there, be blessed. So how are you, young fool?
I'm doing okay, sister. Thank you. How you doing?
All right. And your mom? How's she doing?
Oh, she's doing great. You know, she fully recovered. She's 90 years old, and you know, she's slowing down a little bit. But other than that, she's got a you know, her mind is still good. And she's able to get around and so on and so forth. And thank you for asking. That's a blessing. You know what I thought about?
What's that?
You know that song that was singing, moving in the right, wrong direction? And It was saying, your mama, I wish my mother here, she was a rose. And I thought about your mother. Every time it says that, I think about Mama Rose. Every time he says that.
And it's something, because when I listened to it, I said, oh, my goodness, it sounds like, that's what's so rich about us with our music and the meaning, the things that we say in the music, the lyrics, that it hits us, you know, because we all have something in common. We're Israel, and we're passionate, and we're close to our Creator. Even if some of us like and go to the other God, but, you know, we're into what we know. So.
Well, you know. But you know what? I never met your mother. I spoke to her on many occasions, but I love that woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that woman.
I know what you mean. You didn't meet her personally, but I'm going to say you met her.
I met her.
That's how I said, even though you didn't meet her in person. But, yeah, she enjoyed your broadcast.
Well, every time she says something, Sister Hootie, every time she made me feel good, I would like tickle me elbow. I would like tickle me elbow. It just tickled me to death. She felt so highly of me, and I appreciated it.
Well, wait a minute. Is your mother short too?
Yeah, she's short too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they would have got along.
You better
My
believe
it. But don't cross her though. It's like we like little children around them, aren't we?
Yeah. Okay. Mama wasn't nothing to play with. Okay.
That's right.
And you know, I don't know how Sister Hootie, these young men and women can step to their mothers, or fathers for that matter, with violence and disrespect and derogatory. I never thought of, in my wildest imagination, to step to my mother and anybody else's mother that fashion.
I never talked back to her, even though she tried to whoop me one time. Remember, I told you I stayed in the basement. She got tired.
Yeah, we found out that you were the racetrack runner.
But you know what? As I got older, and this person disrespected my mom, and I was about to push him off the porch.
Yeah, you told me about that situation. Yeah, you told me about that. Yeah.
But she put her arm up, you know, like a. And I didn't step over it. I didn't push it. It was like a brick wall when she lifted that arm up.
Right.
And I'm in my 50s.
Right.
So at the time, so it has nothing to do with age. I respected her. You know, she didn't, even though the man was wrong.
Right.
The fact that.
Your mother said stop.
Right. So that's what it's about.
I wish a lot of men and women were like you in regards to their parents, Sister Hootie.
Yeah, I respect it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And took care of her all by myself.
Yeah, I know. Whew. I know.
Yep.
I know. Well, Sister Hootie,
all right.
You ready to bring our brother and friend on, Katria from New York City?
All right, so he can crack jokes on you.
you know he's ready. Our lead investigator from New York City, Katria. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom. Bless you out, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Most High Yah of Abraham, Yitzchak, Yisrael. How y'all doing? Shalom, family.
Hallelujah. You're doing good, brother. And thank you, and may the Most High bless you and your family.
Yes. Right.
Most High bless all of us. Please. Mm-hmm. The blessings from the Creator. But,
praise Yah.
Y'all touched on a matter. You know, I could go into talking about my mother, Most High rest her soul. But a whole hour, 2 hours talking about my mom.
Right.
I think they were made of a different fabric in that generation. Mm-hmm. They knew what motherhood was really all about. And unfortunately, their generation wasn't able to pass down a baton to the generation after that. I think we dropped the baton, our
right.
generation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We try to become friends with our children, and that ain't really working. We didn't really put the discipline in them that our parents did. But that's not necessarily our women's fault or our men's fault, but it's the way mm-hmm. fabric of society has led us. And mm-hmm. it really rips our families apart. It was bad enough that I was a latchkey kid. Nobody was home, none of my parents. But they instilled their teachings in us, even though they weren't there in the house when we came home from school.
Exactly.
A lot of that is missing today. We had to do all the basics. They had home economics. We had to cook, clean, shop, sew, everything. And
mm-hmm.
these children won't even take out the garbage. But that's another
right.
story for another day. That's why we study these scriptures, to get back the fundamentals, to get back to the foundation of who we are as a people. And you mentioned the music. Yeah, we're renowned. The nation of Israel is renowned for our music. And there is a psalm, I forget which one specifically, where it says, our enemies asked us to sing the song of Zion. And they asked, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land?
Exactly.
But they know that we are renowned for singing praise to the Most High. And unfortunately, the message in the music today is so base that you don't even want to listen to it.
Right.
I don't consider it music, I consider that noise.
Mm-hmm.
No, it has a purpose. That noise has a purpose. Mm-hmm. That purpose, because they know we vibe with our music. Our music mm-hmm. is inspirational to our people. And to have us in a low bass mindset, that's what they want.
Exactly. All right, then. Katria, Cecilia, two lead investigators on the Real Talk for Real People Investigative Study Show. Let's get busy. I'm about to open a file in chapter 34. Allegations have been made, but yet unproven. They have a set of circumstances. In fact, that's proven true in regards to Yah in relationship to Job. But the fact of the matter is, this allegation with Job is just an allegation. Now, if it was proven, and it is proven, that Yah works in the way as Zophar, Beldad, Elizaphar, and Elihu is saying, Yah does work in that way with wicked people. But if that proven set of facts is not applicable, because Yah said, my ways are not your ways. So I don't have to tell you anything about how I apply your formula. Because you're trying to figure me out, and then you've done a decent job at it, if Job was a wicked man. But the fact of the matter is, it's only an allegation unproven. But it looks like he's done something wrong. But the fact of the matter, Job hadn't did anything wrong. The other three investigators, Zophar, Beldad, and Elizaphar, has made their allegations against Job using the formula. And if Job was a wicked man, it certainly would have been right. Now, Elihu, the young brother, as Katria proven yesterday when the file was handed to him, Elihu has proven and dropped pearls that Yah works in this fashion in accordance to wicked people. But the fact of that matter, there's an X factor, as I said. In the X factor, in the case, is that Job is not wicked. He's being tested. Because, as I said, and keep this in mind in these studies, Yah says, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. I don't do things the way that you do things, okay? Keep that in mind as we study. Open your file, chapter 34. May the Most High bless us. Elihu is speaking again in his allegations. He said, listen, O wise man, to my words. You who have acknowledged, you who have knowledge, give ear to me. For the ear tests arguments as the palate tests food. He's making a parallelation. As your ear, the ear would test the argument, as your tongue taste food. Do we have some discernment? Let us decide for ourselves what is just. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For, let me say what Job said. For Job has said, I am right. Y'all have deprived me of justice. I declare the judgment against me false, what I'm going through. My error rune is deadly, though I am free from transgressions. And he says, this is what Job has said. But Elihu said, what man is like Job, who drinks mockery like water? He's making a mockery of this whole proceeding, who makes common cause with evildoers. But we don't have any facts on him, but the fact of the matter that what he's going through is evidence enough for us. And goes with wicked men? For he says, Job, man gains nothing when it is in faith in Yah's favor. So in Job's case, that is truthful. It didn't look like he appeared to gain nothing. So Job is sort of a little off course too here, because he don't understand he's being tested. So he's making a false argument. Man gains nothing when he is in Yah. Yes, man and women do gain something. Your ways are not my ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. But in the end, you will gain something. Therefore, Elihu says, men of understanding, listen to me. Wickedness be far from y'all. Y'all don't do no wicked. Wrongdoings from Shaddai, the Almighty. For he pays a man according to his action. And certainly if the person was correct in his formula, Elihu would be correct. But the fact of the matter, the formula is correct. The Elihu is incorrect because he's making a false assertion on Job. For he pays a man according to his action, and certainly Yah does, and provides for him according to his conduct. For Yah surely does not act wickedly, and certainly he does not. That is true. Shaddai does not pervert justice. The Almighty does not pervert justice. But this is not a case of justice here, fellow investigators. This is a case of Yah testing Job. Their formula is right if Job was wicked. But their formula is incorrect because Job is not wicked. Who plays the earth in his charge? Who ordered the entire world? If he but intends it, he can call back his spirit and breath, your breath of life. All flesh would at once expire, die. And mankind returns to dust. If Yah wanted that to happen, Yah ain't got to be playing with Job. Job, my brothers, I am suggesting, inferring, and implying he did something wrong. I don't know what it is, and the formula works. But the formula only works, Elihu, young brother, if Job was a wicked man. If you would understand, listen to me. Give ear to what I said. Would one who hates justice govern? If Yah hated justice, would he govern? Would you condemn the just, mighty one? Would you call a king a scoundrel? Yah is a king. Great men, wicked. He is not partial to princes, and Yah certainly isn't. Nobles are not preferred to the wretched, and certainly they aren't. For all of them are the works of his hand. He made both alike. Some died suddenly in the middle of the night, nobles and wretched. People are in turmoil and pass on. That's the way life is. After Adam and Eve, by the sweat of their brow, and women birth pains, even great men are removed, not by human hands. For his eyes are upon a man's ways. Yah watches men's actions. And Elihu, young brother, you're not lying. He observes his every step. Good formula. Neither darkness nor gloom offers a hiding place for evildoers. And certainly, Elihu, young brother, you are correct. He has no set time for man to appear before Yah in judgment. He shatters mighty men without number. He set others in their place. Truly, he knows their deeds. Night is over, and they are crushed. He strikes them down with the wicked, where people can see, because they have been disloyal to him. And Elihu here is suggesting, inferring, and implying that Job has been disloyal to Yah. And that's why he's going through the proceedings he's going through. Good formula, the wrong person. And have not understood any of his ways. Job know Yah ways. Thus he let the cry of the poor come before him. If someone does them unjustly, he listened to the cry of the needy. So Job, the cry of the poor, it must come before Yah because of you. He listened to the cry of the needy. When he is silent, who will condemn? If he hides his face, who will see him if Yah don't want you to see him? Be it a nation or a man, and certainly we know this as the nation of Israel. The impious man rules no more, nor those who ensnare the people. Time and place for everything, that what King Solomon said. Don't think you're going to get away. As he said to Yah, has he said to Yah, I will bear my punishment in offense. Has Job, because he done something, I'm suggesting a fair and fair. I don't have the facts, but I have the conclusive evidence in what is going on with him. So has he said, I will bear my punishment and offend no more? What I cannot see, you teach me. If I've done iniquity, I shall not do it again. Question mark. Should he requite as you see fit? But you have despised him, Job. You must decide, not I. Speak what you know. Men of understanding, said to me, wise men who hear me, Job does not speak with knowledge, because I am suggesting, inferring, and implying that he's wicked. He's crooked than a dog hind leg. I got the formula. The formula works. Yes. In some cases. No, in some cases. He's right and wrong at the same time. The formula he's using, as Cottrell alluded to yesterday, is an ancient formula. And it does work, given the man and a woman. But you don't know the ways of Yah. So that formula is not applicable if you don't have the evidence itself per se. You just only have the conclusive act after the fact. If you don't have the evidence per se, you know Job mistreated the wretched, the needy, the widow woman. But you only see the conclusive evidence after the fact. So you must have did it. I didn't see it. I don't have the evidence. But then you can't push that argument. No one can push that kind of argument. Job does not speak with knowledge. His word like understanding. Would if Job would try to the limit, if we put him on trial, I mean, we gave him a trial like that guy that killed my brother in Minnesota. And we gave him a trial like that. We tried him up and down. We tried him to the limit for answers which benefit sinful men. He adds to his sin because he won't confess. Job is adding to his, he's compounding his problem. Look at him here. Skin falling off of him. Bony, his tunic, the neck can fit around his waist. His wife is standing in the distance, I suspect, don't want to be bothered, eyeballing, talking on another tongue. His servants are evading him. They won't come near him. He's got boils to the top of his head, to the bottom of his feet. Look at that house over yonder there. That's where his children have their party. Look at his stock. Look at his corrals. He ain't got nothing in it. That's evidence enough for me. I don't have the evidence on Job, but that's evidence enough for me to know Job is wrong. And he's compounding the problem by being in denial, and he's not making a confession. Good formula, young brother. Wrong brother. He increased his transgression among us by doing so. He multiplied his statement against Yah. Job didn't say anything against Yah. Job said, why is Yah treating me this way? I hadn't did anything. He has that right to stand in defense of himself. They won't even give him that right. They won't. They give him the Spanish Inquisition. That's not a trial. It's a Spanish Inquisition, a foregone conclusion based on a set of circumstances and formulas. Elihu is right in some sense. The formula works if the person is wicked. The formula does not work inapplicable if the person is not. Cartrell, Sister Hootie, I hand the foul off to you. May the Most High bless you.
You know, I did see at the end, in verse 35. Verse 35 where it says, Job does not speak with knowledge, and his words are without wisdom. Would that Job be tried to the end, since his answers are like those of wicked men? For he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against El. Because they think that, first of all, at least you pointed out, they must have done something wrong.
Exactly.
He must have done something wrong. Even though they're kicking out knowledge about the Creator, that lets us know that they do know something about the Creator.
Exactly.
Yet they too are searching.
Exactly.
As well, but the difference, as we can infer by reading these 34 chapters, so far, Job has not sin in terms of what he's saying.
Exactly.
Coming out of his mouth.
Exactly.
But as time goes on, we're going to see more and more questions that Job's going to have, as well as they do, because they ask questions. There's always a question mark at times when they're speaking.
Always questions. Always questions.
Like when the young man says in 21, in verse 21, for his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. That's true.
That's true.
And then 22 is, there is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of wickedness hide themselves.
Exactly.
I mean, they can't hide. And the next one, for he sets a man no state of time to excel in right ruling.
Exactly.
I mean, we can't set no time. He doesn't. His, like you said, his time is an icon and vice versa.
Exactly.
Because he breaks in pieces the mighty without injury and puts others in their place. So that's a clue. What did he say? He breaks in pieces the mighty without injury. But this time Job's got what? Boils? He's in pain. And puts others in their place. 25, truly, he knows their works, and he shall overthrow in the night, and they are crushed. You know what he's saying is everything that the Most High does.
Mm-hmm.
25, truly, he knows their works. Most High know your works, and he shall, and overthrow in the night, and they are crushed. As wrong ones, he slaps them in the presence of onlookers. I like that. He slaps. Yours may say a little different. He slaps. Because they turn from following him.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
And they discerned not all his ways. So as to cause the cry of the poor to come to him.
Right.
For he hears the cry of the afflicted. So you think he's not hearing Job's cry? Job is afflicted. See, in bits and pieces, these four men are kind of answering their questions, what's going on with Job, but they don't know that. We see it.
Right.
This man is afflicted.
But then again, so Judy, can I ask you a question?
What's that?
Do you think they could be saying two things at the same time?
Yeah.
Saying that Job, you in this situation, and you're cracking go before y'all. And also, you've done something wrong, and y'all has heard the people that you've done something wrong to.
Just like how people will give you, a person will give you information and say, we're going by the Gregorian calendar. I know the Gregorian calendar is not correct.
Right.
But yet they still say Saturday is the Sabbath. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You're telling the truth on one end, but you're doing a lie on the other. So what
exactly.
is it?
Exactly.
He is afflicted, but you're thinking he's afflicted because he must have done something wrong.
Exactly.
Which I'm not mad at y'all, but that's what y'all know at this time. But as time go on, things will be revealed.
And on the other hand, as you said, Sister Shehudi, maybe you ain't cried out to Yah.
They
actually heard him cry out to Yah in his dissertation, because while he's battling back and forth, he's talking to Yah and praying to Yah at the same time.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, people get caught up in their words and their own analysis, and words can be your transgression and your sin, because the more they speak, the more they wrapping themselves up in sin, because they don't know what's on Yah's mind. But you making accusations against a man, as you say, where there's no evidence.
Right.
If they were authority, if they were police officers or whatever, they probably had a man in jail. And guess what? You have people who are in jail that people will judge. It brings to mind for me the Central Park joggers.
Right.
People were so quick to judge them young brothers that they raped this woman, and they basically railroaded them into jail for like 15 years. Come to find out, they're innocent. The DNA proved it wasn't them. But public opinion, just like these so-called friends of Job, rushed to conclusion. And had you visit the brothers in jail, probably would say, yeah, they must be guilty. Why? Because they're in jail, because they got caught. And here they are. But that shows you, you know, our vision is limited. Our knowledge and understanding, these people who are supposed to be so wise, they're so foolish at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
because
you live the judgment to Yah. You can't judge what you see. It should be a lesson to us all. Don't think you have understanding or analysis of every situation just because what your eyes see or what you've heard. You need to do an investigation.
Exactly.
A thorough investigation.
And you know what?
This is how you get false confessions, right? Because all this pressure they're putting on Joe, some people might have cracked. So I did it. It was the first one. We'll write it down.
But Godrell, you know, he made that statement, and we did an unlimited trial on you. We investigated you thoroughly, so to speak. You would come out dirty. He admitted it. They didn't do a thorough investigation of Job. Now, as you said, they want a full confession. They want him to do, what is that, Perry Mason? He thinks he's Perry Mason. So he wants Job to fall off the stand and say he did it.
It sounds to me like they're looking at him. They want to bust every boil on his body rather than help him.
Exactly.
You want to be in pain and agony, but you're putting him on trial while he's in pain, while he's at his lowest point. Who does that?
Exactly.
I can agree with some of the things you're saying. But, you know, I'm looking at the contents because we're going chapter by chapter. not trying to get ahead. For someone to spend that much time, even though I can be disillusional too, communicating with them, and they know his background. They know Job helped people and things like that and was wealthy.
Right.
So I'm thinking sometimes we look at people wealthy more narrow-minded because we're thinking they're selfish and
right.
And then we may look at people who are poor. And I don't think it's talking about necessarily what you have. It's like what Cartrell said, don't judge a book by its cover.
Mm-hmm.
That's not exactly what it means. You know, you have to look in deep really what it means. Because
mm-hmm.
now Job is what? He's afflicted. He is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're just trying to figure out why he's afflicted. And yes, they're throwing out, did you do this? And then they're trying to analyze what they know of the Most High, if you really read it. And yes, throw into the fact that, like you said at the end, Job does not speak with knowledge, and his
right.
words are without wisdom.
Right.
Would that Job be tried to the end since he answers, his answers are like those of a wicked man. Now he's asking a question there. You know, they trying to figure this stuff out, and they're going through some changes, but stuff is going to be revealed as we go on.
In regards to that, they're doing all this analysis of Job's situation, and most are testing all of them.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't just testing Job. He's testing mm-hmm. Job's friends. How loyal are they? How would they treat him if he's in a situation? And they bust
right.
him. They're not trying to help him. They're trying to put the man in the grave. Now he mm-hmm. knows who his true friends are. They're exposed. You know, when you got money, you got lots of, they say, that's the old song. You got money, lots of friends. As soon as the money's gone, the friends ain't around. And these guys ain't really friends. So I'd rather be alone dealing with my personal problems with God than to have to be arguing about what I did when I know I didn't do anything all day with people who are supposed to be my friends.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we all have a bad habit of that, Cartrell, acting like those friends, me included, some kind of force, that we have a habit of that. We see a set of circumstances, and we try to apply the formula to those circumstances. But that's the formula is good, but the individual that you're applying it to is incorrect, as in their case.
Yeah, you could say that about the Central Park joggers.
Exactly.
It looked like they were guilty. Circumstances pointed at them, or didn't.
Mm-hmm. But
somebody didn't do a thorough investigation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But people came. The conclusion, and people looked at young brothers as wolf packs for a long time.
Exactly.
From their
perspective, they never apologized
mm-hmm.
you know, for the damage that they did to those young brothers.
Yeah. As a matter of fact.
Go ahead. I was gonna say because you know, Ema and I were talking about it today, similar that from their point of view. Oh, like we can't be bigot or racist because we're not in control of anything in this country. We're not running things. So if you feel superior and it's ingrained in you and you've been around people who've been dogmatic of people of color, it carries on from one generation to another. So therefore, of course they wouldn't care about it. It's confusing, so we need to care about us. We need to care about each other.
Well,
I've been sending out signs saying instead of mugging, as they call your brother, speak to your brother. That's not gay. What's up, brother? You know how y'all speak. Speak to your brother. Don't get mad if your brother made a mistake and bumped you or something like that. Like the lady picked the show enough. It was in New York. I think you heard about it. Talked about thought that this young boy of color touched her behind, and it was his backpack. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But,
and we have to be cognizant of that.
Elementary school student.
Right.
He was with his mother.
What?
And he brushed her back. She accused him of groping her.
Right.
But
and it was his,
thank
was
God
back.
For the video.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because back in the day, they would have hung that young brother.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can correct something, I would like to make define what racism is and what being biased and prejudiced. Now, we can't be racist. There's only one racist. That's why it's called universal white racist supremacist. Two things cannot occupy the same spot at the same time. That means a racist has the power to exercise his prejudice and bias and controls every dimension of it, for his housing, law, labor,
education,
anything, health, everything. They control the whole dynamics. They can redline you. They can give you inferior health care, inferior food, inferior housing. They can tell you to be gay. But now, being prejudiced and being biased is based upon a formula of how we have been treated. Now, yes, we are biased and prejudiced, and we all be given what has been done to us. I mean, and still done to us. We have a right to be prejudiced and biased, but we're not racist. A racist is a different, whole different dynamic.
You know, it's interesting that racism is crept up in the vocabulary, because actually it's the human, it's not even human race, we're human beings. And there's no, it's a construct, but we use it because people understand race. You know, and you know, English language is difficult because race can mean running a race or race of a people. You know, we didn't develop that word yet. Yeah, we can, I suppose, be biased. We have a way and we do things, but learning the Caucasian language, I'm glad I'm proud of who I am. I don't hate them, but I'm proud of who I am. And over again, we come out with truth, and we've been bombarded. Early days of Farrakhan, when he talked about Jewish people, he didn't go against Jewish people. He was just telling some truth. And they got upset with him, and we don't like them. And I'm going, why? Why is it in America? We could tell you the truth, but you're going to get angry. You have nerve to get angry.
That's the mindset of a universal white race supremacist. They want to control your actions, your thoughts, your speech, and everything. And if your actions, thoughts, and speech does not correlate to what they think life is, and as you say it, and you're right, there was no definition of people based upon race. A universal white race supremacist made definition of nations by race and put them on top. And we couldn't be racist. The Most High, there was no such thing. We could even treat strangers wrong in our land. So we treat the strangers in our land just like we treated each other. So that same thing, being universal white race spread, trying to mistreat, and it's used to mistreat, dominate, control, and have fun and get wealth out of it. That's what it's a false construct designed by white folks. And it's true. If you look at the world, parallel to my conversation, parallel to what I'm saying going on in this world, just position it to what I'm saying, and you'll see Yavasuf is not lying. They control everything. The World Bank Organization, the World Health Organization, any organization that gives anybody anything, they're controlling it. And just like in the case of Ghana, Ghana didn't have no gay stuff going on, but the gay rights organization have pushed the agenda where you got to accept gay rights, or otherwise we ain't going to give you a little something here. So they control the dynamic of the whole. Now, I'm going to make this clear. I'm going to get off. Y'all may argue the points of Yom Su. That ain't right. We got nations that folk look like us. Yeah, we got nations that folk look like us, but they ain't running a damn thing. Okay? They doing exactly what the World Bank Organization tells them. They're doing exactly with the world health organization, just like in the case of Gunner. Gunner wasn't pushing the agenda about people couldn't visit because of COVID-19, but they put pressure on them. Now they're falling in line with the World Health Organization and saying, we can't put that counter, we can't exert that power over nobody. And we wouldn't if we could, not in our land. So when I say universal white race supremacy, I know what I'm talking about. I know how, if you, like Neely Fuller Jr. said, if you don't know what it is and how it works, you're going to be totally confused about everything. And they run everything. And you better believe it.
I'll say this, you know what's interesting is because they don't have, it appears, let me rephrase it. The man, okay, for example, when I went to the doctor, someone took my temperature.
Exactly.
Okay? So why not hire people, pay them a good wage to take the temperature, to know what they're doing and train with you, especially when it's coming out. It's going to be, this thing is going to be with us for a long time. So I'm still expecting 2023.
Right.
And why regulate people's movement? And because if someone's on a plane and before they board that plane, their protocol, why not have that in place? But you know what I thought about? I said, this is an opinion. My opinion doesn't mean anything as far as the United States. It's all about the money. That's all it is. It's about the money. It's a complicated process of how they explain it, but it's simplified. It's all about the money. Now, don't get me wrong. I think COVID is a serious ailment. I don't take it lightly. It's just the manipulation and the media coverage, I believe, is not sufficient. Well, I'm skeptical. That's it. But it's all lined in of deception. This is what I'm saying. Just tell the people the truth.
Right. So, Julie, they want to be in control, and they want to be in control, and they want it about financial benefits, just like these pharmaceuticals. These pharmaceutical companies are making billions of dollars of this COVID-19, and they want to be in control. That's the mindset. If you don't understand, just look at them. Look at them in Congress. Look at them in the health profession. Look at them in the gay rights movement. Look at them in any movement or any organization they're in. They want to be in charge. You know when you and I were working, contrary, I know, we always met them. They always want to be in charge. It's the first they hide on, they want to run something. I've seen it.
Let me just say this to Summit so he can go to Psalm. But right now, it's a low. People going to the doctors and hospitals. It's stagnant right now because there's so many people who allow the medicines to lapse or, you know, the situation with this COVID thing has created an atmosphere of fear. And subsequently, there's people that decide to work from home or don't go back to the job. And as we discussed previous, even when I wasn't home, you probably discussed the low wages and it's variable of why these things are happening. And so when you look at the whole picture, I say not last, but first, we need to go to our Creator for meditation, the mind can lower your blood pressure because man cannot fix this. We can only give out the message. It's not religion. It's a way of life because it was stated. People of color are the only people, we're talking about Africans as they call us, don't have a religion, but they're spiritual, the only spiritual people on earth. Now, that's something. That tells you something. So we should be ever so humble. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Well, Sister Hootie, I'm going to say this and I'm going to let Patrick move on to the next segment of study. I concur with you on that. As far as universal white race supremacists are concerned, as I said, and the evidence speaks for itself, they control everything. And they want to be in charge of everything. And I added too, because we've been socially engineered and conditioned, not only in this Western Hemisphere, but universally speaking, You want a new house. Which way do white folk go? You want better health. Which way do white folk go? You want a new job. Which way do white folk go? You want a wife. Which way do white women went? Come on now. I know what I'm talking about. So we need to get out of this fascination with universal white race supremacy, as you see it. And that's why we focus on these studies, because we need to move in the right direction where to place our confidence and trust in. And as you said, in case of any COVID-19 or anything else for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Right, correct.
That was good. That was good. I told you you're a lead investigator. Well, Cartrell, we're going to close the file on this book and Sushi Hootie. And Cartrell is going to open up a short file on Psalms 134. Psalms. He's going to open up a file on that, and he's going to break it down to us like we're 4 years old so we can get some clarification. May the Most High bless us.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We thank him for the creation of our nation, the nation of Yisrael. And the songs of ascent that he gives us to connect with him by these writers to teach us how to connect with him. So we give thanks and praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Behold, bless Yah, all you servants of Yah, who serve Yah by night in the house of Yah. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless Yah. May Yah bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
So it's basically in a simple song. How many of us are servants to Yah? And we're talking about all the servants of Yah, including because the angels are servants of Yah. And if you go to the 148th Psalm, skipping ahead, we know that the angels do bless Yah. And when you bless Yah, that blessing comes back. We hope. We pray. That's why we say, may Yah bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth, because he's the only one that could bless you. And yes, the universal white racist supremacist people think they're in control, but it is the Most High who is actually in control of all things and everything. And we're looking at it like Joe's friend. We see that the earth is infirm. We see that the earth is in pain. We see that the earth is being afflicted. And we're trying to come up with analysis and solutions. But do we really know? Do we really know what's going on? Y'all gave us clues, more clues and hints than he did Joe. But we need to know those clues and hints. And really... Because we get caught up in a race, but we've lost ourselves ethnically as a nation.
Exactly.
We had to fight black nations in the past. Matter of fact, that's what we dealt with, black nations.
Right.
Canaanites.
Canaanites.
Ethiopians and Egyptians. Yep. There was no Europeans in power at that time. It was an all-black thing, if you want to say that. Mm-hmm. But you got to know who... We're talking about? We're talking about the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So the sons of Shem and Ham, they pretty much had harmony with one another for the first three empires. And then came along the Romans and the Greeks, who finally brought the Europeans, the Japhites, out of their barbaric, uncivilized state. And they brought them culture and civilization. Mm-hmm. And it's been them in charge since the fall of the great empires, the Babylon Empire, the Assyrian Empire, and the Median Persian Empire. And when you go back and look at those empires, there were no Europeans running those empires.
And what did they bring us, country on society? Universal white race supremacy. Which way do white folk go?
Diseases. In my mind, it ain't funny, but diseases.
Which way do white folk go?
Syphilis and everything else, and smallpox, and all kind of terrible diseases. Typhoid.
Exactly.
Polio, name it.
Exactly.
And they
got the nuclear bomb.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which way did the white folk go?
They're taking you to Sheol.
Yeah. And I tell you, they don't mind dropping it on you. That's the Japanese. Okay?
Yeah. Part of what's happening now is their idea that the population of the earth should be reduced.
Right.
Which is why they want everybody on the planet vaccinated. Says who? Why should everybody on the planet be vaccinated? There's herbal medicine, ancient medicines that people have been practicing for thousands of years, way before you came out your caves, that have dealt with pandemics and plagues and things of this nature. And y'all don't have a spiritual outlet to cure what's going on because the Most High is wreaking judgment through pandemics and plagues and pestilence and sword and famine on the earth.
You're a smart lead investigator. And you're smart enough to know that they're, what they're doing. So Shahuda is smart. She's a smart lead investigator. And she's smart enough to know this because she knows this juxtaposition to our studies. What they brought total domination and control of the whole universe. They didn't, they everywhere they went, they were a plague in so many ways. As Sister Yehudi pointed out, typhoid, smallpox, smallpox infected blankets and so on, deliberately doing what they did. The nuclear warheads. And so we didn't bring that. We had conflicts with different nations. We didn't try to dominate the whole universe and try to put them on our thumb, but they do. They do, and they are, and their attitude. And Sister Hootie asked a question, a good question. She said, what gives them the right to think that they can tell us to take cook? They give them that right. And they said, you damn well better to do it too. I take your job. I take your livelihood. I take you from flying anywhere. And that's what universal white race supremacist is.
But
well,
let me take another. Right quick, when Cartriel Yamsu was talking about the bomb, I may be a little partial. I'm like this. When it comes to nation, I look at the circumstances and the time period. For example, when I did research on Japan and what they were doing to China and various stuff, they were ruthless. I didn't realize how ruthless they were because I was the one that was like, oh my goodness, they put them in turn camps, you know, the American Japanese. But once I realized why, and knowing their history, and it wasn't an easy decision to drop that bomb. They tried it out, where was it, Mexico somewhere, and scared them. But the point was they didn't want to further the war with Japan. They didn't want to sacrifice any more men. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling what history is. And because the emperor wouldn't surrender, and they only had for one more, you know, take them some time to make the fourth one. And they were hesitant. But it was, gamble. And yes, it even people today are suffering. I mean, most of them have died out. The offspring may be suffering from the effects of the bomb. And, you know, Chinese and Korea and all of those countries need to really search it out. They've done, these emperors and kings have done really horrific things to their own people. So no nation. Is righteous. No nation is righteous.
Yes.
Especially
America had no right to drop that bomb on their country. America was an imperialist country, still is an imperialist. It goes by a different set of names. It still is they go to certain countries and they treat them differently, as in the case of Russia and so on and so forth. People got the power to fight back. They had the Japanese cornered. They had beat them off every alley and only had the mainland to defeat. So why justify dropping bombs on women and children? There's no just, and America has no more authority to drop a bomb on anyone. Not the bomb they dropped on us since we've been here. Not the bomb they dropped on the Native America. I don't support America. I don't defend America. America is a criminal organization that abused, mistreated, and dominated people. So I don't stand by that. Oh, they had a right. What right? Right. America didn't have a right. They did it because they wanted to do it.
The Japanese didn't have a right of raping and killing and limiting the Chinese either. All I'm saying is two sides to both of them, both of these nations. See, we thought, we were brainwashed younger and it was on the American side, right? When we were younger, we didn't know no better until we grew up and realized, oh, no, I can agree with that.
Right.
But because I did the research on the Japanese, the Chinese, the Asians, what was going on at that time, none of the nations, Russia, Japan, Germany, what was the other one? Austria. All of them play a part. None of them, this is what I'm saying, and I'm not saying the United States was correct for doing it. I'm saying why they did it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. This is the fact. This is, they didn't want to go to war further. They wanted to cut the war off. They didn't want to sacrifice any more men. Because people don't realize the Japanese kicked butt.
But that just by you dropping bombs on cities with women and children, innocent women and children. No, that does not give it justification. They can write anything into the history book they want, but it does not justify that. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Exactly.
So I'm not saying it's necessarily. I'm saying that this is their reasoning.
Right. Oh, I get you. I get you.
That's their reasoning, you know, but and the thing is, it goes back to with Jefferson, the Tuskegee Airmen I talked to. He didn't do it for white people, Caucasian people's acceptance. He did an example for people like us.
Right.
You know, to say that, you know, we can overcome different things. We can do our best in this society. We don't necessarily be part of the society. He said, if I would have known the way we were, I mean, you know, back in the 40s, and then now he looked at how the young people, and like Cartrell said, we dropped the ball. You know, because a lot of people did not join military or any form or police officer or anything to prove the Caucasian people. That wasn't even the point. Some did. But that's not how we...
But I'm glad you take up your investigative studies serious, not only on the show, but in life itself. Because there was a time when we tried to investigate, open a book, they'd kill us. Now some of us are dying before we open a book, as Cartrell says. It's true. Well, Sister Abigail has her hand up. We're going to let her say something. Then we're going to get ready to get out of here. Sister Abigail, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is on. Shalom.
Yes, shalom. I almost forgot y'all went into current events.
How are you, Abby?
May the Most High bless you.
May God bless you. Now, what I wanted to say about Job, you know, Young Sue, my mind went towards where you went when you said for your ways and not my ways, your thoughts.
Right.
And then, you know, but I went to, like, my mind took me to Jeremiah in there where he said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And it was not of, and it was of peace and not of evil. Right. So I was saying now, Job knows this, and what the others were saying, they supposed to have knowledge. They was giving some knowledge, but what good is having knowledge if you apply it wrong?
Truth be told.
But, and they were definitely doing that by judging him when he said his desire. What does his desire have anything to do with God?
Right.
So, I was just saying, but anyway, y'all carry on, and like I said, may y'all bless you, and shalom.
Thank you very much, Sister Hootie. Sister Abby. Look here, check this out.
Abby, I got a point. She's got a point, though.
I said good point.
Because actually, Job, just reading it, he's trying to figure it out, too. You know, I don't think he knows I don't want to try to jump to conclusions. He's trying to figure it out.
Right. And you're right. He was trying to figure out right along with them what's going on. And you're
certainly
right.
He actually knew more than them because he mentioned that even though he's
tested,
he's not going to let go.
Real, but he's humble about
the
it.
Most.
Cartrell, not argumental.
Cartrell?
Yes, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, I was saying something to you. I said he wasn't argumental at all.
My point is that Job knew more than his friends. He knew he was being tested. He had a clue.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you.
But he didn't know completely. And his plea was to the Most High, even though Elihu accuses him of not reaching out and praying to the Most High. All throughout his dialogue, he's talking to both his friends and to Yah.
Mm-hmm.
He's off in that sense, but he does drop some jewels that are valuable. And people need to take heed because the story of Job is like a classic story for the world. It's not really meant for the nation of Israel per se. It's meant for all mankind. We talk about the evil and wickedness of nations. To drop a bomb on innocent people, whether it be nuclear or any other kind of bomb, that's a war crime. And America was never held, for the war crime of dropping their bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Matter of fact, they pat themselves on the back. It stopped the war. Yeah, it stopped the war. But damn, now you got nuclear proliferation. People see that you got this bomb. Now they want it to protect themselves. So how many countries got nuclear bombs now? Because you got it. And you dropped it.
Some nations now today have it.
And now you're going to tell other nations they can't have it? You're going to tell Iran you can't have it? Who are you to tell us we can't have it? And you got it. And you made
exactly.
it.
Well, that's because they feel, you know what, it's like protecting your own. And I'm not saying, I'm not saying it's correct. That's their mindset. I've talked to some Caucasians. They don't even know why
their mindset
they
is wicked. Their mindset is evil.
I'm not saying
to create nuclear bombs that could blow. They got nuclear bombs to destroy the Earth over 300 times. How many times do you need to blow up the Earth?
You know what?
Not 300.
I rely on the Creator. I didn't even think about them damn bombs. That's what they did at that time in the 40s.
Trust me. They're telling you that the nuclear clock. They got a nuclear clock, right? A doomsday clock. The
and
doomsday
they can
clock.
Do it again. Yes, they can
minutes
do it again.
Away from doomsday. You got agitation. The Russians are getting ready to attack the Ukrainians. China is getting ready to go into Taiwan. And these people carry a nuclear bomb.
And that's why we said juxtaposition our studies with what's going on in the world. You'll see dynamics, and you can see it through the lens of the Most High in these studies. And you got to be cognizant. I mean, no, we shouldn't trust and be fascinated with them. Our trust should be in Yah, but we should see them through the eyes of Yah. As Katri alluded to, they're wicked. Universal White Red Supremacy is a criminal court religious organization. They think they can do what they do, when they want to do it, and how long they want to do it. It ain't a damn thing you'll do about it. And truth be told, it's true.
They challenging the Most High. How are you tampering with creation? Scientists, which is genetic engineering. Most often said, you see it after its own kind. Leave it be. You mix the species, you put human species and rats and bats. No wonder you got these plagues. Yeah, you deserve them.
Exactly. They doing too much. All
you
right,
know,
gotcha.
We know they're evil. Let me just say this. I understand everything you're saying. I'm not defending, okay? The perspective is sometimes we need legible conversation on the adversary. We know their history. We know the evilness they've done, the deliberateness they've done, even beyond the shores of America, okay? What I mainly concentrate on what we can do for ourselves as a people.
That's
our history.
Certainly are
our
we.
History.
But our people are lying to themselves and each other, and they're in denial. What did Cartrell ask me yesterday to say? But Jack Nicholson said. And that's how we are. You want the truth? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Okay? They don't want to listen to us on this investigative show. When we tell them parallel stories, juxtaposition to what's going on, all them old niggas don't know what they're talking about. That's what they said.
But you know what? I let that roll off. Because, like he said, they're not against you. They're against me.
Against right? Yah. They're against Yah.
That's right. They're against the Creator.
Right.
So go ahead.
I guarantee you, we are the only one on broadcast radio or in any place where the scripture is being studied that goes mm-hmm. through each book. Chapter by chapter, because I've been to some Wednesday night Bible classes. I've been mm-hmm. to a theology class in college. I took a theology class. Mm-hmm. They didn't study the book like they're supposed to. They jumped around in theology class. I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. And they expect people to understand. But
right.
that's how people have been taught this book. They've never been taught the way we're exploring it, the way mm-hmm. we're researching it. Chapter
Is
by
that-
chapter, you get greater
but you've
understanding.
Always done that. You've always done that, Katria. We when you and Y had a study group of conference call, we would do that.
You have to.
Yeah.
Did you get that understanding?
Only at this time.
That right? I know of.
Okay.
That goes
me too.
Through
I know.
The book of Genesis, Bereshit, all the way through the book of Malachi, chapter
mm-hmm.
by chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does that. Who does that?
In a beautiful investigative study, it is. It is enlightening. It is informing. It is motivating. It is it's revealing to do it like that. And I prefer to do the investigation work just the way we've been doing it.
They don't even do that with the New Testament.
We're going to leave that alone.
Right.
Well,
so,
I'm talking about that. I took
it.
Yeah,
I know it. I know it to be true. I know it to be true.
But it's funny.
It was.
They do the
but
jump
so
around.
Rudy,
I'm like, damn, they do the jump around in college too? Oh.
Jump around. Skip around. Skip to the loo, my darling. Y'all, we finna get ready to close out this investigative files for the night. We're going to reopen sometime in the future because we believe in redundancy. But, Sister Yehuda and Cartrell, what is your closing remark on either one of these files we just studied about the Most High, our precious Elohim?
I'm not going to
say
nothing because it'll open up another half an hour conversation.
Yeah, you know how we get started.
I won't say
he ain't lying. Cartrell ain't lying. He got the truth. We start off something that's going to go on and on to the break of dawn.
And y'all hardly let me speak. But soon as I say
there
go.
You go,
another
there
hour.
There you go.
Well, I'm
there
about to be quiet. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Go ahead, Cartrell.
No, I'm telling you, I ain't saying nothing because you could go into a whole another hour.
All right.
Learn
so, Shehudi.
Learn it.
So, Shehudi.
All I'm going to say.
You have any closing remarks?
All I'm going to say is this. People, do the research and meditate and find out for yourself. We're not always going to be on the same page or agreeable, but we can discuss. I'm not always right. No, I learn every day. And I'm open to suggestions. And, yeah, we are strong. All three of us are very strong in what we know.
Exactly.
And we're going by a lot of our personal experiences. And I try to be open-minded. I don't have to agree. But I look at the person of what that person has gone through, why they say the way they say the things they do.
Exactly.
And we need to get back into that. We need to stop brazing over people. We don't even pay attention to our own family, let alone people that we consider.
Speaking of
like
family,
mm-hmm.
I mean, cut you off. Sorry.
Go ahead.
But our sister Amina, the Most High blessed her with an apartment.
Hallelujah. Praise
God.
Well.
And she's not too far from where she was.
No.
She has a granddaughter. The help is coming. And she gives thanks and praise to the family out there that helped her, And most of all, the Most High, who she says is her friend.
You know, I go back over Cartrio. I go back to that site sometimes, and I must, in behalf of Amina, give Sister Avia a big thank you. Her donation, has been one of the biggest donations for Sister Amina. Thus far, Avia. Let me bring up Sister Avia. I know you shy. You ain't trying to put your business out like that. But
you didn't hit the anonymous button.
Yeah, the anonymous.
I don't be doing those things. So you know, because I've seen anonymous like when it the first time when
right.
I thought it went through. Then when I went back to check again and I seen. Like when Yansu said I would get a text message,
right.
So I went and fixed my Gmail, my email.
Right.
And after I fixed that, I went and I tried it, and I did it again, and that's when it went through, but I forgot to put the anonymous.
I did, too. I did, too. I thought I did. But yeah, you made me look real bad with my little donation.
Listen, it doesn't matter. What amount it is, as long as you're giving from your heart, and that's
praise
all I do.
Listen, if we got 15,000 people on the Block Talk Show right now, and everybody gave up $1, that would be $15,000.
Exactly.
Nah, that's what I'm talking about, bro. Everybody shed a load.
Your heart is in it, and you do what you. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. And who a dollar gonna hurt?
Nobody.
No, it doesn't.
Nobody.
Dollar ain't gonna hurt nobody.
All right. Well, fellow lead investigators and our research lady, Sister Avia, our research team, Avia and Nissan, y'all from Memphis, Tennessee. They are research people. They are gatekeepers. I want to thank them. They are really picking up in these lessons. They are really taking them to heart. And Cartrell and Sister Hootie, they in it to win it. And fellow students, I'm going to really lamb back off what Sister Hootie says. I think she spoke for us all when she concluded in her commentary. So there's no need for me to say any more on the subject matters. But we do want to give you some parting gifts, which is a new heart in Newton. No, we can't give them to you now. We're just going to point you in the right direction. Go to the Most High. Ask for a new spirit. Ask for a new heart. You're going to need those. Help facilitate your studies and enhance and improve your studies and open your eyes to see things that God wants you to see. That new spirit will be humble, not only toward the Most High and contrite toward the Most High, but humble in dealing with one another and loving one another. And that new heart will be reflective of our King, King David. You know, the Most High said King David is a man after my own heart, simply saying, he's got a heart somewhat similar in nature to me. He loves me with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, as all of us should. And he loves his brothers and sisters as he loves himself, and he thirsts after righteousness, as we all should. But here's the kicker here. If you don't love yourself, it's virtually impossible to love your brothers and sisters. I suspect it is impossible to love y'all also. But that being said, learn to love yourself. Learn to love what you look like in the mirror. Stop hating what you look like and calling it all kind of bad names just because you've been called bad names. Start moving in the right direction. We love you. Cartrell, Sister Judy, and Avia, you want to say something to the students, the investigative students?
Yes, your life.
Y'all will gather. .us. Nation building time, family. Let's come together.
Hallelujah.
Give y'all praise.
Hallelujah. Avia, Sister Judy?
I said, love you. Good night.
That was quick. First time in the country. First time. So quick and sweet.
No doubt.
Send me that link again. I tried getting on. I keep getting knocked off or I'm going doing something wrong. Send me that link, please.
You want me to send you the link to the website?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem.
And shalom, everyone. May y'all bless.
Praise
love y'all.
Praise y'all. We love y'all. And y'all, we love y'all too. May the Most High bless you. Praise y'all. Shalom and good night.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string. One that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home. One that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say, then you say, you're moving on. Then you say, I've got other plans. Oh, girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction. So far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
Where you moving? Where you moving? Where you moving? Where you moving?